We have item number 9, action deer breeder permit rule amendments, implementation of legislation. Mr. Clayton Wolf. Clayton.
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Clayton Wolf. I'm the director of the Big Game Program, the Wildlife Division. This morning, I have numerous proposed changes to our deer breeder permit rules, or what is actually currently our scientific breeder proclamation. As indicated yesterday in committee, House Bill 1308 passed during the last legislative session. The passage of 1308 resulted in numerous and significant changes to what were our scientific breeder statutes, now our deer breeder statutes. So many of the proposals that I'm presenting to you are actually mandated by statute so that our rules become consistent with the state law. In addition, because we were going through section by section, we met with our breeder user group and looked at other housekeeping changes and other changes that would make the rules function better, not only for the agency but also for our users. So with that, I will hit the highlights. I have many of these to go through. Obviously, we propose to change the name of the permit from scientific breeder's permit to deer breeder's permit, and likewise remove the term scientific from throughout the rules, and also substitute the term deer breeder anywhere scientific breeder is found in the rules. We propose to repeal the provisions regarding the marking of deer. There are still marking requirements in statute, and basically the new statutes are a compilation of what were marking requirements in our rules and those in statute. We propose to substitute the term deer breeder, breeder deer, anywhere deer is found in the rules, and also amend antler removal criteria if breeder deer are liberated from a temporary facility and their antlers have not yet been removed. We propose to repeal the prohibition for killing deer in a breeder facility. The previous statutes had an outright prohibition on killing deer in a facility. The current statutes now allow for two exceptions, and that is for the purposes of humane dispatch and also for disease testing purposes. The statutes also were repealed and repealed the violation for introducing wild deer into a breeder facility, but I want to make clear that it still would be a violation to do this. However, the violation would be under our Triple T statutes, which make it a violation to illegally trap deer from the wild, actually for any purpose. We propose repeal definitions for common carrier, deer, propagation, and scientific. And also, we want to redefine sale. The term sale is found throughout the rules, but is not clearly evident that this includes transactions that involve the release of deer, and so we want to make that clear. And we also want to define accredited test facility to mean any laboratory that's approved by USDA for testing chronic wasting disease. Currently, we only accept test results from the Texas Veterinary Medical Diagnostic Laboratories. We propose a change in the definition of transfer permit to basically make the definition consistent with the statutory language. And there is one exception. A transfer permit is needed for all breeder deer movements with one exception, and that is deer that are going to an accredited veterinarian for medical treatment. Also, we'd like to repeal the requirement for a person to possess a permit to sell a deer because the requirement that I'm going to speak to next requires that a person have a transfer permit to move any deer, which would also include a sale. We propose that we propose to clarify that no person may possess a live breeder deer outside of a breeder facility unless they possess a legible transfer permit. And we want to redefine unique number. Basically, there's a lot of verbiage in the statute that defines the tattooing requirements. And to make our rules read easier, we propose to take that language and define that to mean unique number. We propose to simplify the requirements for certified wildlife biologist certification. Basically, currently there's a breeding plan requirement in there. The agency no longer uses that, so we would like to remove that requirement. We'd like to propose to repeal the requirement that the original application be notarized and also that escaped deer notifications be notarized. And we also want to make some allowances and give ourselves some latitude to allow for folks that are making timely progress in submitting applications. We often run across cases where folks have valid instances, and as long as someone's working with us, we're willing to work with them. We proposed to allow an individual who does not possess a breeder's permit to transport deer if they were obtained from a breeder and if they are in possession of a transfer permit. And also to repeal the requirement that deer breeder maintain an on request provided the department that the documentation as to the source and source of all deer in possession. Basically, about 18 months to 2 years ago, we required everyone to provide us complete inventories. And so now we no longer, we already have the documentation on the deer that were obtained many years ago. We propose to clarify that a breeder facility changes must be reported to the department only if the change is the perimeter of the facility. There was some misunderstanding there, and we just want to make that clear that interior changes to the interior of the facility do not need to be reported to us. Finally, we have three proposed repeals referencing dates. The first one deals with disease monitoring requirements that became obsolete on March 31st of 2007, and those that became effective on April 1st. Obviously, these repeals were because these dates have passed. And finally, we propose that to specify that May 23rd, 2006 is the effective date after which eligible mortalities are counted in reference to movement qualified status. As far as public comment is concerned, we received four comments in agreement with our proposals and three that disagree. The three comments that disagree with the proposal really weren't germane to the specific proposals. These were basically comments from folks that did not agree with captive breeding of deer as a whole. As far as the four agree, one of those was a qualified comment, and actually there is a comment that has some merit that we'd ask for a change. Currently, the department has the authority to authorize the transfer of deer from a facility, even if it is not movement qualified and it does not have an eligible permit. In actuality, the language should read or. That gives us a little bit more latitude and discretion if we need to move those deer for some purpose. So we'd ask that change also be incorporated in the adoption. Staff recommendation is there before you that the Parks and Wildlife Commission adopt the repeal of Section 65607 and also amendments to 65601 through 605, 65608, and 65610 through 612. Concerning the Deer Breeder Proclamation, with changes as necessary to the proposed text. That one change that I just mentioned specifically, these were published in the December 14th issue last year in the Texas Register. And I'll be happy to take any questions.
Any questions for Clayton? Have you become a lawyer?
No, sir.
Well, I'm telling you what, we're down to defining or and is.
Actually, someone smarter than myself found that. So.
Yeah, but I admire you. You've done a great job. How is the industry doing, the deer breeding? I mean, is it growing? Is it still expanding? Is it finally kind of leveled off?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was looking at the figures last week trying to see if we could get a hold on that for our interim committee that's
right.
Going to be meeting on this. It appears that the fastest growth in the last 10 years was probably 6 to 8 years ago, but it hasn't tapered off that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, on the average, we're still getting about 100 breeder permits per year, and we're sitting at 1,000 to 1,100 now. But we're hoping to get into the data and do a little bit more data mining to see what is actually happening and how many new breeders there are and how many of those transactions or liberations versus the establishment of new breeding facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a lot of the transactions involve the establishment of new facilities, but then there are a significant number of deer that are liberated in Texas on an annual basis.
Do you keep up with ones that are, let me see how to say this the right way, are allowed to lapse? In other words, once you give a deer breeder's license or permit, does it have to be renewed on an ongoing basis? Or
on an annual basis, yes, sir.
Annual. So do you keep up with ones that lapse? When you say there's 1,000 to 1,100, is that active?
That's active permits,
active,
yes, sir.
Permits, okay, and growing then about 10% a year, because you say you're adding new ones at about 100 a year.
That's
okay,
correct.
I understand it correctly. So about 10% growth.
About how many deer are held in under those permits now?
The closest estimate we have right now might be close to 60,000. And a couple of years ago, we started requiring all our breeders to submit us their specific inventories,
mm-hmm,
because
good.
We want to track the movement of all animals for disease purposes. And so it's been quite a chore, and we're fortunate that we've been offered some resources to try to get those data loaded up in the database. Right now it's close to 60,000, We're trying to resolve some unique number issues. We did get a grant through Texas Animal Health Commission from USDA to help us hire some temporary staff to try to get things resolved. Each deer in Texas should be uniquely marked. And when that deer moves, we have a record of that transaction. Unfortunately, there are several hundred deer that are not uniquely marked, and so we're having to go through and resolve all that so that our database functions properly.
Any economic data on economic activity?
No, sir. We do not have any economic data. We do not track that. Now, Texas A&M did a study for the deer industry, and those data are out there on the economic impacts in Texas, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, also the National Association of Deer and Elk Farmers also commissioned a national study, and those figures are out there, and in fact we have provided that to members of our interim committee so that they can look at those.
Did you get a copy of those to us, the A&M
yes, sir.
Study on the economic side? So let's use 60,000. You've got 1,000 breeders. I'm using rough numbers, obviously. So that's 60 per if you looked at just average. What would be a large breeder and what would be a small breeder? I mean, any range?
A large breeder could have several hundred deer,
okay.
Some of our largest ones, but
right.
we do have many of them that are in the 20 to 30 deer range. They're just getting into the business, and they buy them. They're not doing any transactions. They're basically trying to grow a herd.
Okay.
Is there a cost to the license?
Yes, sir. It's a $400, if I'm not mistaken. We just raised those fees, I believe, within the last year.
Clayton, when will the interim committee report, just schedule-wise, when are they planning on meeting and when will they have a
I do not know when they're planning on meeting. There is a requirement to provide a report to the respective committees at the Capitol at the beginning of the session. So we suspect any time now someone should convene a meeting. All the appointees have been named, and they've gone through their process of testing, et cetera, and pledging. So we suspect something should happen no later than next month, but that's just a guess on my part. I haven't been exposed to that process before.
Any other questions for Clayton? We do have one public speaker, Kirby Brown. Come on, Kirby.
I wouldn't want Clayton to be lonely up here. So, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, my name is Kirby Brown with Texas Wildlife Association, and we support the staff recommendations. Also, I think it's going to be my last opportunity to do this, and I want to publicly thank my good friend, Mr. Robert L. Cook, for his years of service to Texas Parks and Wildlife and to conservation in Texas. He's a great guy. We're going to miss you, Bob.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate your support for CWA support. Any other questions or comments for Clayton? This is an action item on the various amendments. We have a motion. Mr. Falcone, Mr. Montgomery, all in favor?
Aye.
Great. Can't get your vote, great, right now. Or is, or. Where you at?